You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for sportingnews.com. So, again, if you're new to this podcast or new to Sporting News, go check it out. I got the picks up there that'll be up later in the day. We also have some waiver wire advice for you going into week five, and that's what we do here on Tuesdays here. It's a weekly waiver wire. We'll have Eric Edholm of Pro Football Weekly help us break down the biggest pickups there at running back and wide receivers, mainly a lot of young guys that we're looking at. Always some help out there for you, and look at a little bit on what we saw on Monday Night Football between the Chiefs and the Broncos. We'll start with a little bit of a quarterback streaming options there for you, and then close with a look at the tight ends and defenses that you can pick up here ahead of week five, coming out of week four. So let's put a bow on week four with the Chiefs and Broncos. And with this one, 27-23, the Chiefs rallied to win. Patrick Mahomes came down to earth, but not as much as you think, because you look at him, he had two touchdowns, still 300. That's what you're looking for baseline from your quarterback. So came down to earth, but that's still a solid game that you want from your quarterback there. This time he got it done on the ground with a rushing touchdown. There it is. So gave you the 302 there. Good to see Kareem Hunt get going here as well. Really ran well and hard against his Broncos defense. 19 carries, 121 yards, and a TD. Also three catches, 54. So people that were worried about Kareem Hunt can chill out a little bit. We knew as the defenses got harder and the checkdowns were more necessary, Tyreek Hill wasn't running free all over the place in this one, only nine catches for 54 yards on 13 targets. The Broncos did a good job to contain him, but they left a lot of things open, mainly the tight ends. There with Travis Kelce, 7 for 78 and a touchdown with a flip pass on 12 targets and 2 for 59 for Demetrius Harris. So the Chiefs just showed you that if you're going to take away their wide receivers, and Sammy Watkins, unfortunately, didn't have a catch here and then got hurt. He's going to be iffy for this Jaguars game here in week five. That's when Kareem Hunt's going to get involved. They need to get him involved. This was a good reminder of that for Andy Reid. And you can have Mahomes and Hunt have very productive games at the same time. So Tyreek Hill, I think you're going to see more and more of the focus on him. That's good for Kelce here underneath and Hunt. So a lot like we had last year. It was a lot of Hunt and Kelce. Hill would do his thing there a little bit. But when you take away one guy, you can still produce there with the Chiefs. And that's what you see here. With the Broncos, I like how this running game is split and is being very effective. Started Phillip Lindsay or Royce Freeman. I liked both of them this week. And it was pretty much split down the middle there in standard league production. Really, neither was involved too much in the passing game. But 12 for 69 in a touchdown for Lindsay, 8 for 67 in a touchdown for Freeman. So Freeman, to me, is still the more impressive back. For some reason, they can't quit Lindsay here. They want to keep giving him more touches. I can't believe Freeman only got 8 touches. When he was looking like he could dominate this game early, it just seemed a little bizarre. But at least we know this running game is what the Broncos need to do. They're not a very good pass-protecting team. Garrett Bowles, the left tackle, really struggled more in this game. So they want to run the ball. That's going to be the Bren Brothers offense. They don't trust Case Keenum. And why would you when he was at 245 there with 21 of 33 interception, 4 sacks? He just doesn't look right. Emmanuel Sanders, I think people are realizing a little bit that you have to contain Emmanuel Sanders. And then Keenum kind of falls apart because he's not established a good connection with Demaryius Thomas at the moment. Only 5 for 45 receiving for Sanders. He had one run for 18 yards. That was the best play of the night. But when you look at this, that's a concern. If Courtland Sutton is going to step in more. They need him. 3 for 51 on 6 targets. Well, you had Jeff Heirman, the tight end, with Jake Butt, lost for a torn ACL. He had 4 for 57 here on 7 targets. So there's a lot of tight end action underneath, dink and dunk, playing off the running game, use the fullback. Andy Janovich blocked well. He also had a catch for 32 yards in this game. So you just wish the wide receivers would be a consistent part like we saw with Keenum in Minnesota, but it's a different offense, different mindset with the coaches. They want to be conservative, defense, running game oriented. And so far it's not helping Keenum, and the production's not there. So they're going to have to change a few things, the way to look at it, but extremely hard to trust anything in the Broncos pass game. Running game still looking good because the volume and talent of both of these rookie backs there for sure. And we'll talk a little bit more about Sutton with Eric when he's on the show later as a potential here pickup going forward. And speaking of pickups, we have to talk about the quarterbacks that are available that we really have to look at. And when we look at quarterbacks, in a lot of situations, it's streaming. And but sometimes the streaming can be difficult if you rely on people and things that look good at first that may not be. And Alex Smith is one guy that I'm looking at, but not crazy here about him necessarily because his team, again, that doesn't throw downfield. Saints Monday night, they'll be jacked up there in the dome. So there's that. And then you look at what we're looking at in the streaming specifically for this week. You have to start with Blake Bortles there. On the other side of the Chiefs matchup, I think he'll do a better advantage there than Keenum of this matchup. We know that he can. He's ripped apart a couple of tricky defenses against the pass there with the Patriots and Jets. The Chiefs don't pose much of a threat there. So no Leonard Fournette. That means a lot of TJ Yeldon, but a lot of Bortles spreading the ball around and doing his thing that we saw in his best games this year. So I really like Bortles this week on the road. He's settled in. This offense is just too good. Offensive line, good variety of receiving core, no guy to key on. Yeldon playing a part, now giving you a little bit more versatility in the backfield. So really like Bortles this week if you're looking for that one-week play. Hope he's still available. Now, a couple guys, I think these three guys are probably going to be available, but I'll start with Joe Flacco here. Joe Flacco playing really well. This is a Ravens team that's throwing a ton here. Get Cleveland this week. We know what Derek Carr did to that defense last week. So Flacco, we wanted to see maybe go on the road, Pittsburgh, if it was a trap game, they wouldn't produce. But the volume there and the weapons, they're only going to get better with Hayden Hurst, the rookie tight end, coming in the mix with Joe Flacco there. So you got to look at Joe Flacco and not make fun of him, because right now he's a QB1 in terms of his scoring. And so I think he could be a lot more than streaming option. The bye weeks are here right now. Not that you had Mitchell Trubisky or Ryan Fitzpatrick / Jameis Winston as your quarterback, but these are guys that you can actually look at longer with Bortles and Flacco. Really, they shouldn't be streamed. They should be good platoon situation quarterbacks for you. And then you look at Derek Carr. Can he keep up the momentum? I think he can. Extremely high volume here for Carr the last couple weeks, even with Marshawn Lynch getting involved. Now they get the Chargers. The Chargers' pass defense has been a liability early. They made C.J. Beathard look good. They just don't rush the passer well without Bosa really setting the tone up front. It puts a lot of pressure on their corners back there, especially if a semi-athletic quarterback, and Carr is definitely one of those who can move around. So I look at this situation lining up pretty well for Derek Carr going forward, and we can't ignore quarterbacks who are producing, and that's the bottom line. We might have been down for them, but guys like Ryan Tannehill or Case Keenum or Eli Manning that are just not doing anything, those guys, no, we're not going to trust them in bad offenses. We're seeing a lot of good signs from Bortles and Flacco and Carr in their particular offenses, and you go there. And finally, a quarterback that we really cut bait on early. We didn't like the offense. We didn't like the elbow injury. But here comes Marcus Mariota. He does a number on the Eagles here, going at full speed. He throws to Corey Davis. He runs around really well. Marcus Mariota looks very good again here. And the Bills' defense is pretty tough there on the road, but he can run. He can push the ball downfield now. So all kinds of things that you're looking for Mariota, things that we expected from this Matt LaFleur offense. But now that offensive tackle's healthy and Mariota healthy, things are trending in the right direction there. So a lot of good options there at quarterback that you can look at in the short term for this week. And again, Eli Manning, Case Keenum, you look at them, Carolina and the Jets this week, you're staying away from them. C.J. Beathard against Arizona, no, you're not going to go there. But these four give you options. And if Baker Mayfield is still out there, I think this is not the week to play him, but someone you can stash there ahead of some games that'll be better for him than this Baltimore matchup this week. Now, ever since I started doing this podcast and making these picks on sportingnews.com for the games and how I digest and really dissect all these games, people would ask me, who do I like to win in a particular week? Who do I like to produce fantasy points in a particular week? Well, I got to tell you, it's one thing what team you like and to cover or be an upset maker this week, but you have to also bet in the right place. And that's why you have to go to my bookie. You play there, you win, they're going to pay you well. And you look at them, they've got such a great rep in this business. They're your best bet online. They've got great reviews all over the place. They've been in the business for years, and their mobile site is very easy to use for bettors. They also have live in-game betting, so you can also play a side game on over-unders on fantasy points scored. And when you do that, you're going to keep racking up the most rewarding player perks out there in the industry. And MyBookie has a special offer for you. They get slammed with new bettors there all throughout the day, but if you're willing to deposit after 7 p.m. Eastern time, they'll give you an additional $25 in free play and deposits over $100. That's right, $25 in free play. And join now. MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Use the promo code LOCKEDON25 to activate that offer. To do that, visit MyBookie. That's MyBookie, MyBookie, and use that promo code LOCKEDON25 to earn up to $1,000 in free play, plus that $25 extra free one by doing your deposit there after 7 p.m. Eastern time. So just do promo code LOCKEDON25, taking advantage of that offer. MyBookie, you play, you win, you get paid. And when we get back here on Locked On Fantasy Football for Weekly Waiver Wire, we'll have Eric at Home of Pro Football Weekly with a look at the nice pickups of the week at running back and wide receiver. Joining me now, as he always does here for Weekly Waiver Wire on Tuesday, is Eric Edholm of Pro Football Weekly to help look at some of the more intriguing pickups of the week. How's it going, Eric?
Everything's good. Yeah, it's been a busy few weeks, but everything's going well.
Well, we have a bit of a mixed bag here in fantasy football to start the season, and it's just been all over the place, but I think after 4 weeks, we try to get it going.
Yeah, I think it's always, you know, it's such an interesting time, especially leagues that have that, you know, bidding system where they're like, okay, you can place, you know, X number of dollars to go get certain players. And, you know, I almost feel like at this point, and this may not be the week to do it, but if there's any quality player who comes on the waiver wire and you still have some money left in your till, like it's almost time to dump it out. Like I said, maybe not this week, but you know, I don't know how many more players are going to get that kind of star treatment at this point. So, you know, you spend your money, you know, think about how you're going to spend your money at this point.
Well, one position we're fascinated by and always looking to upgrade, and we have a fascination with rookies at this position as well, running back. We've been waiting for a couple guys to do something. Nyheim Hines was talked about a lot in this Colts backfield, and Jordan Wilkins looked like the guy early, but unfortunately this team's not running the ball effectively and they're splitting carries, but it looks like Nyheim Hines, when you look at the satellite player usage and Corey Clement, of what Frank Reich did with the Eagles last year, he seems like that type of player that could have some usage, even if he's strictly a passing game guy.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, there was that kind of disappointing usage, I think, in the early going, and you sort of wondered, all right, how many balls he can get per week? But, you know, I realized it was, you know, an overtime game, but still, I mean, you see every week it's like creeping up a little bit. A couple more passes thrown his direction, a couple more rushing attempts. It's not prolific, but, you know, I thought the – obviously the use in the passing game is fascinating. An interesting number on him, too, I think I saw was like he's been throwing the ball 26 times and he's caught 22 of them. So there, it does feel like there's kind of a safety blanket element to his game, you know, where they're going to use him. And, you know, there's been all this talk about Andrew Luck and his shoulder and how far can he throw. Look, he was dialed in and you know, it may be a short and intermediate passing game, but it sounds like Hines is going to be a regular part of it. And obviously the two scores will make you think that. But, yeah, I like kind of the way they're slowly integrating him into this this offense here.
Yeah, you knew Talon was going to take over at some point. Now, Ronald Jones here, early pick by the Buccaneers. We expect a lot more. We knew there were some limitations coming out of USC here, but he's been in Dirk Cutter's doghouse for a while. But when you see this running game struggle and Peyton Barber do absolutely nothing, they had to activate him against the Bears. Did get a little volume, but that matchup in game was brutal. But they have a bye this week. What do you expect out of Jones, and what were some of the things you liked about him with the Trojans?
Yeah, it was almost like it was hard not to love his explosiveness, you know, and they didn't use him a ton as a pass catcher in college, but when they did, he made big plays. That was the exciting thing, was that, you know, he averaged a very healthy amount of yards per catch. I want to say it was like 16 and a half last year or something. You know, it was notable. And so you thought, okay, maybe he's not that polished pass catcher yet, but every single year in school, he was averaging 6+ yards per game, found his way into the end zone. I realized that outside of, I think, one reception in the preseason, I mean, he did really nothing. And you thought, wow, the rushing average isn't there. I know Sunday, I think he had a long run of 7. It was obviously not the the game script totally flipped on that game in the early going. The Bears got up so big, so that's not an accurate representation. But you know, you kind of look at some of these matchups, the Atlanta Falcons in week six, I should say. You know, they're giving up a ton of points at home, so there's certainly going to be a possible good matchup there as well. So I don't know. It's hard to get super excited about him, but you feel like he's going to at least get the chance, you know, to maybe break off a run here and there.
Who'd you pick up first over these guys, Hines or Jones? I'm leaning towards Hines only because this is a team that's throwing a lot and they want to spread it around a little bit.
I think so too. Yeah. And just the uncertainty. I mean, there are more healthy bodies, or there will be at some point in Indianapolis when Matt gets back and everything. But yeah, I think Hines at least, you know, even though you see fourth rounder versus second rounder in the draft, I feel like at this point, Hines may have a little bit more diversity to his game and could be a little more valuable.
Well, we have wide receivers as well, young guys that we have to talk about. And we look at one guy, and it's fun to say his name, whether you say it Kiki Kuti or Kiki Kuti.
That's right.
Either way to say it. But it's a name that fantasy people are going to be suddenly on this week. Will Fuller, hamstring issue, popped up again here out of that game against the Colts. And then Kuti produced immediately in that role. Bruce Ellington's already down for the season. He's always on IR, it seems. And so you need a second option. They don't throw to the tight end. Here comes Kuti, big part of the offense immediately after all those things happen. So I think he's got to be a pickup here because you look at these – immediate trust from Deshaun Watson opposite DeAndre Hopkins there.
Yeah, and I mean, they need anything they can get in the passing game. And he was such an interesting player to watch in college. And I'm not even going to attempt to pronounce his real first name, which I think is like Kaventani or something like that. So Kiki is good enough for me, and QT or whatever you want to say for the last name is even better. But he was such an explosive player in college that, and even in the preseason, you know, he showed these flashes. It was a disappointment that he, you know, kind of got banged up there at the start of the season. But, you know, speed merchant and just a guy who can break you down in the slot. So, you know, Will Fuller, I hate to say it, you know, you just really can't count on him at this point. And there's such a different team with him on the field. But I think, you know, after that game, even though, you know, it came against the Colts, I picked him up leading into the weekend. It was a total lucky thing. It was a really deep league. you know, he was about the best of what was out there. And I thought, all right, let's give it a shot. Now, he was on my bench Sunday, unfortunately. But what I liked was that it wasn't just one big play and you know, a bunch of short catches. It was a lot of intermediate grabs. He was catching 10 and 12 and 14-yard passes. So, you know, the thing that Bill O'Brien mentioned after the game was that he played really well, and when he sees the tape, he's going to notice there were two or three things he could have done to do even better. So it sounds like they've got a role in mind for him, one out of necessity, but two out because they like the player. You know, the Texans, frankly, are lucky at this point not to be 0-4, I think, or at least 0-3-1. So, yeah, you know, they've got to get anything they can go in offensively. We know how great Hopkins is. The tight end position is kind of a morass at this point, running back too. I think if Watson has any faith at all, that QT's got a role.
Yeah, and another guy that's going to get a role here, maybe because of injuries, Randall Cobb, then hamstring again. Hamstrings can be so nagging and keep a guy out for a while, especially if they're a little older. And then we saw Geronimo Allison also had a concussion there late against the Bills. Then you have another fun rookie name to say, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. He was in the mix a little bit there. They might need him a lot more, the rookie there for the Packers, because you look at this team, Aaron Rodgers is already complaining about the usage of certain players, namely Davante Adams and the running backs. So you would think after a pretty good preseason that they want to get Valdes-Scantling involved, especially if these injuries limit them and they need someone to play with Adams.
Yeah, another member of my all-name draft team, Marquez Valdes-Scantling. That was a fun one. And, you know, people may look at the game and say, oh, what's the big deal? Three targets, one catch. Sure, it was a big one. But I think you're right in reading between the lines and, you know, that kind of passive aggressiveness that's going on between Rodgers and McCarthy. And, you know, this, you know, talking to people up in Green Bay, that sort of comes in waves. And every, you know, every year or two, you hear this kind of chatter come out about how Rodgers is subtly throwing shade at his head coach. But this is the way Rodgers feels like he can affect change and kind of get the people he wants on the field. And yeah, I mean, I think he made a great point Sunday about Adams not getting more targets, and 14 wasn't enough in that game. I mean, he had a matchup to exploit there, and you know, I thought there were options for them to get him the ball even more. But short of that, you look at somebody like Valdes-Scantling and see the speed that really doesn't exist anywhere else on the roster. I mean, yeah, Jimmy Graham does what he does. Adams is going to always be that wide receiver one, and with Cobb kind of banged up, you know, he and Allison are really the only other true pass catchers right now. I don't know. What's your take on Aaron Jones and whether he could even cut into it? But there's at least some playmaking potential there in this offense that should get better at Detroit, Niners. You know, there's some favorable matchups. I guess you have to consider him somewhat of an option at this point.
Well, I think the one thing that you look at in the Packers offense, I look at the Saints offense, or look at the Patriots with Tom Brady, there is an actual way to get that deep threat on the field, or they always want it if he's not there. And that makes a big difference for Aaron Rodgers. You have the best quarterback, arguably, in the NFL, and he doesn't have a deep threat that these other elite guys have all over the place. And it's kind of a shame. So I think you have to get some more speed there. We've seen even guys like Ted Ginn do that stuff. I think Valdes-Scantling probably comes in with more value in that regard.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. I mean, just seeing that one big play and kind of knowing, you know, it does take a lot for Rodgers to have trust in a rookie, but I think there's at least that option for seeing it. And I think, you know, you remember Allison, his rookie year, you know, he was kind of a long shot and it took him a little while to work in, but once he did, he got his plays in there. So, yeah, that could be the upward trajectory we see with Valdes-Scantling.
Now, I was watching the Broncos and Chiefs, and you look at this game with Courtland Sutton. I am just shocked that they don't get this guy more involved. Part of it is Case Keenum hasn't been very good. But Demaryius Thomas, it's just not working with Case Keenum. The connection is just way off. And you can't just rely on Emmanuel Sanders for a few end-arounds to get going here. So when you look at it, I think Sutton, I like this guy so much. I just wish I could trust his quarterback a little bit more.
Yeah. I mean, at least, you know, the best thing you can probably say about Case Keenum is that he keeps plays alive, and that, you know, he'll give his receivers chances to catch the ball. That's what happened last year. I'm with you. You know, he's not great, but he's probably the best that they have. You know, unless you're sort of a Chad Kelly truther at this point, I don't know. I mean, we don't really know exactly what he would bring to the table if he was the starting quarterback, but. You know, he drew the PI in the end zone. You'd like to see him, you know, fight for the ball a little bit more. He's so physically gifted. He made the big plays. He did catch – oh, well, he didn't catch the one at the end there. I guess they ruled that ball incomplete, you know, the failed hook and lateral play there at the end. But, you know, still the point is, you know, he's seeing enough passes come his way now to where you think, yeah, the Demaryius Thomas thing, it wouldn't shock me if he's a trade, you know, candidate – before the deadline here in the next 3-4 weeks. So, you know, a team that badly needs a receiver, wants that veteran guy in there, maybe they move him if the Broncos, you know, kind of slip out of contention a little bit. So, yeah, I mean, Courtland Sutton, I think there's not only a – because he's going to score a touchdown at some point. You know, we're going to see it. We've seen enough red zone usage and whatever. You know, the yards per catch are notable. I like his upward trajectory here. I think there's a real role for him if he gets on the field a little bit more and they don't kind of try to force feed things to Thomas. Because Sanders is great, but I think you're right. I think Sutton is the running mate that they'd eventually like to have. So this may be a good short play, but more of a better long play, I think, as they go on here and get him more touches.
Yeah, that's something we'll watch. Because if Thomas is out of the mix, then you're going to feel very good about Sutton because they need an outside guy there. Now, a guy that maybe is a little underrated, I know Corey Davis got the attention. He had the big game, and deservedly so. He deserves that attention for eating up the Eagles. But sneakily there, Tawan Taylor, I've liked this guy in this passing game for a while. They got him out of Western Kentucky. Moved Rishard Matthews out of the way. Now no more Delanie Walker. And this passing game actually came to life a little bit with the tackles healthy, Mariota healthy. So I think Taylor's a sneaky guy there because I look at him right now, and he's the clear, I guess, co-number two option here in the passing game with Deion Lewis.
I agree, yeah. And you know, I'm a Lewis owner in one league and obviously a little bit disappointed at some of the production there. But yeah, I think you're right. I think both those things you mentioned, the fact that Matthews was moved on and they had the Walker injury, those were – probably considered their two most reliable guys coming into the season, even with Corey Davis, you know, expected to get an increase. You'd have to say veteran-wise, those were the two guys that Mariota trusted the most. And I guess we can feel good about Mariota now after this game. I mean, obviously the way it went down and the way he had to kind of rescue them, you know, that was one of his biggest games in a long time. So Tawan Taylor moving the chains the way he did. And if you remember last year, he wasn't a touchdown guy at all, but they would hand the ball off to him a lot too. They gave him some reverses and stuff and end arounds and things like that. You know, he did sort of produce on a pretty consistent level, I thought, you know, even though his usage was low. You know, when they threw the ball to him, he made some plays last year. It was a small sample size, but you know, he's someone you absolutely have to keep an eye on. And I like the fact that, you know, that he's at least getting an opportunity here. He's, you know, a little bit older now for a second year guy. I think he's about 24. And so, yeah, this is, don't forget. I mean, I think they used a third round pick on the guy. I feel like we've kind of forgotten about him a little bit. So he's one that may have some intriguing possibilities.
Yeah. I mean, this has definitely been an interesting year because you look up the charts on running back and wide receiver, there's surprising guys in the top scoring. And then there's some guys that have faded here as well. And I'll leave you with one more thing that we have to look at, because if we're going to look at all these young wide receivers, we've got to cut somebody if we're going to add. And one guy I think we're getting a lot of debate is Chris Hogan. And I'm not sure going forward here with Julian Edelman returning, Josh Gordon being a bigger part, Philip Dorsett continuing to make plays. Who knows what Cordell Patterson will do. But I don't know if you can really want to keep Chris Hogan on your roster at this point.
I'm with you. I'm kind of stunned. I did not have the, you know, you saw some people. Where were some people taking him, Vinny? Like 50th overall? I mean, some crazy.
I took him as my wide receiver 3, but he's been since replaced by Cooper Kupp pretty quickly. So I took him, but I took him, with a grain of salt here, that knowing that I didn't want to rely on him as my wide receiver three if things went in a different direction. So, but I think I'd rather, like, looking at these guys, I mean, based on the situation, I'm looking at Tawan Taylor. Like, I at least know he's going to get the ball there. Or you look at now Tyler Boyd, who's emerged, and people were looking at him. Or even in the right matchup, you look at D.D. Westbrook. I think a lot of these guys have more value overall because I think they're going to get involved more than Hogan will.
Yeah, or Dante Moncrief, even a guy that I did not like coming into the season, but you at least look, and he had the long touchdown Sunday and, you know, had the good game against New England, somebody like that. So, yeah, I mean, I just sit there and say, boy, what is he at this point? You know, he's had injury issues in the past. I know his production last year on about a half a season made him look like a, you know, possible 8 or 10 touchdown guy this year, but outside of the second half against the Jaguars, he's done nothing. And, you know, I just don't know that there's any separation there, that they feel like he's any kind of a big play guy, whereas that was sort of his calling card. I think he led the league in yards per catch at one year, a couple of years back on a small dosage. But yeah, I don't know what to make of him. And there's even talk that Jacob Hollister will be sort of a keep an eye on guy at some point. They can pair him with Gronk, and you know, we know Gordon and Edelman are obviously going to be part of the mix there. So, you know, Dorsett seems to get a steady-ish diet of targets. So I'm with you. I James White's going to be there. Hogan to me is nothing more than maybe a bye week replacement, or like you said, you can probably drop him and not, you know, especially in smaller leagues, and feel like you're giving up that much.
Yeah, we'll have to see. Who knew that the Patriots' backfield would have more clarity than their receiving core? But that's where we are coming out of week four, and that's 2018 there in a nutshell. So, Erica, thanks a lot there. I know you had your double LA swing last week. What are you working on this week at Pro Football Weekly?
Yeah, settling down a little. No travel for a little bit, but that was a fun trip, obviously. The funny thing is I booked it 2 days before Garoppolo tore his ACL. We were supposed to do something on him, and that's just the way things go in this business. But, yeah, kind of focusing on the Bears. We've got some stuff coming up on them during their bye week. And, yeah, keeping it real for the next few weeks before heading out again.
All right. Thanks a lot, Eric. And we'll talk to you again before week six. I'm sure we'll have several more guys to talk about.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it, Vinny.
Thanks again to Eric at home for joining us and giving us some insight on those young running backs and wide receivers we need to talk about and think about picking up here ahead of week five. And now, I'll tell you this, when you're bidding on players and with your fab budget and looking for values there, you're always looking to save money and apply it to the future. And that's the same thing you want to do with your clothes. It's kind of crazy how much we pay for new brand name clothes. We buy kids' clothes there and they quickly outgrow them and just a waste after a few months. But wouldn't it be great if there was a place to discover awesome discounts on gently used clothes? Well, there is. It's swap.com, the world's largest online consignment and thrift store. Why drive to store after store, sifting through racks? Easily sift through millions of clothes in seconds on swap.com. Easy-to-use filters will help you find just what you need at swap.com. And it's great because you're doing something that saves you money but also makes you feel good, because over 14 million tons of textiles are wasted each year. So shopping secondhand at swap.com helps prevent textile waste from polluting the environment. And that's great. You're saving money, doing good for the earth as well. And the best thing of all is you're going to find some good retail price discounts on your favorite brands like Lululemon, Carter's, Nike, J. Crew, and The Gap. These are all quality hand-inspected items, and they're added a lot there daily. And if something doesn't fit, you can always return it for a hassle-free experience within 30 days. And there's a special offer as a listener to Locked On Fantasy Football. You can get $35 off select items for your first order with the promo code Locked On. That's the promo code Locked On. 35% off, a great way to get into Swap and find those good deals. So, and you can just go to swap.com and Find those new deals every day and take advantage of an even better deal here with that promo code Locked On. When we get back, we'll look at the tight ends and defenses that you want to look at for week number 5. Now, looking at the tight end help, this has been just a tough, tough position all year. We've had some more injuries hit this there in week 4. Namely, we start with the Buccaneers, and the Buccaneers are off, so he's not going to help you this week. But Cameron Brate, O.J. Howard going down with a knee injury that could keep him out up to a month here. We know Jameis Winston's coming back, and Winston's a Brate guy, while Ryan Fitzpatrick is an O.J. Howard guy. So you think Brate's only going to value score touchdowns now in back-to-back games for the Bucs. So that's a good going forward there. They, I believe, come out of the bye and face the Falcons, so that's a great matchup immediately for Brate, where you can plug him and play him there. So this tight end spot, unless you have Travis Kelce or Zach Ertz, even with Rob Gronkowski hurting, it really doesn't go beyond those top two guys. You got lucky with some later guys you took, such as Eric Ebron. It's a tough, tough position, so you have to look to always add guys there. Another one you have to look at based off injuries, Tyler Kroft. We know he was very productive, especially in the red zone with Tyler Eifert down last year with a back injury. Now Eifert has got the ankle. He's out for the season. Kroft can be productive. He does have to split some work with CJ Uzuma there. But overall, Kroft is going to be a guy they look at a little bit more. They've thrown a lot to guys like him in the red zone. So I think Kroft is definitely potential to have some value as a tight end replacement there. And Vance McDonald, this is probably the last call for him. He's getting involved. It might change with Le'Veon Bell if he returns and gets part of the pass game, or they want to open up with James Washington. But they love McDonald in between Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster. So McDonald, last call for him to pick him up. This is probably the last call for Hayden Hurst as well. I know this Ravens team was like to split the tight ends and they use a lot of different guys, but I think overall you're looking at a team that wants to throw to Hurst. They draft him in the first round for a reason over Mark Andrews, who's more of a move guy offline. Hurst is a guy that can play inline, give them a little bit of versatility and play calling. So I expect him to return from the foot injury this week, as McDonald did earlier for the Steelers, and have some good value. And one guy we have to watch, we talked about him a little bit in the Broncos-Chiefs game, is Jeff Heuerman. The concept makes sense when you look at Case Keenum and the Kyle Rudolph reliance last year in Minnesota. Jake Butt was emerging before this injury. So Heuerman is a guy that definitely has to be in your radar. He's a big receiving threat at Ohio State. A little underrated draft pick there. And that's what you look at tight end. And now we have to look at the defenses. And there's a lot of good defenses that you can target here in week 5 that are probably available to get you some good points here. I look at the Cowboys. They could have been dropped after that Seahawks game and Lions game, but they're going to get some sacks. Everyone gets sacks against the Texans. They have a very strong defensive line. Everyone's back healthy, including David Irving there. So a lot of sacks are going to be in the making there. It's a cross-state home game on Sunday Night Football, so they'll be a little jacked up for that. So I really like the Cowboys this week as a streamer you can look at. I think you can also look at the Tennessee Titans. They've played very good defense. Got after Carson Wentz with a good pass rush with Harold Landry, the rookie, contributing. Now they get Josh Allen and the Bills. Could be an ugly game there. So I really like what the Titans can do there. And then you look at the Panthers, a team that's up and down, but the team typically you want to play at home defensively. And they're facing the Giants. Giants are giving up a lot of sacks as well. So that's a good baseline you want to look for in your defense, is find a team that's giving up a lot of sacks where it's easy and you got some pass rush potential on your team. And with the Panthers with Kawan Short, they definitely have that inside and outside there to go after quarterback. I think if you want to look, a little bit of a sneaky play this week would be the Jets at home against the Broncos. Broncos short week. Case Keenum can be a turnover machine there. So I don't mind looking at the Jets, who can really take advantage of a guy like Keenum and really come up with some big plays. So Jets is a team I'm looking at also in a deeper position to help you be productive at that difficult, sometimes difficult streaming spot on your team. So there you have it. There's a look at all the people that you should consider picking up, from the streaming quarterbacks to running backs and wide receivers we looked at with Eric, to the tight ends and defenses, which cannot be forgotten as game changers on your team. So that's a comprehensive look for weekly waiver wire with Eric Edholm. We really appreciate him coming and joining the show again. And we appreciate you listening, because this is all for you. We want to get you good to go, transition from one week to the next, to help you field a better fantasy football team and a better fantasy football lineup. So keep checking us out. We like that we're having an expanded audience, and we've upgraded to Experts Edition. So for Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you tomorrow for Matchup Focus with Jeff Ratcliffe of Pro Football Focus.